Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Spring of Life show with myself as your one of your hosts. My name is Jasmine. Welcome, welcome, and welcome to Benjamin. Hey, Ben.
Hello, everybody. I love to be on the air with you again. It is just lovely to have you listening, whether you are listening live or whether you will be listening to this download. And it's always very nice to be on the show with you, Jasmine. Thanks so much for opening it up for us, because we're going to have a lovely time today, because we are sending straight from Mexico. So yeah. As we're doing that, we will bring you some of that sunshine from the inside out. We will bring you some of that wonderful glow, because today we talk about yin and yang. We're going to be talking about bringing the polarities back into realignment, and we will talk about the spiritual as well as the materialistic, and how we can bring some of that fluidity back into the materialistic and some of that more solid aspect to the spiritual, because the spiritual can certainly seem ever so elusive, yet it doesn't have to be. Because, after all, we are spirits first, and oftentimes it's easy to forget that. I forget that sometimes. I get so wrapped up in the things that happen around me, so wrapped up in all the things that are the material world, because, hey, that's how I've been trained, and I bet you most of you have as well. Yet, I have found, in studying lots and listening to my inner world and listening to my spirit and playing with it all, that it is actually not necessarily true that the outer world, the material, is primary. Actually, it is the spirit that is animating our bodies in the first place. As soon as the spirit leaves, well, that's the place, that's the time when we die. So how about we just have ourselves a blast and bring some more of that spirit into our bodies? Because with each breath, you can start inhaling that light. Inhale some more of yourself and have yourself a blast with that which you are, spirit in its essence. And play with it. And the thing is that, since we can recognize that we are spirit first, because that we have actually existed before we came into this physical body, and when we die, we will continue to exist, just not in this physical body. So spirit was before, is while we're in this materialistic world experience, and will be after as well. How do I know that? Well, that's personal research. Whether that is something that you believe in or not, you can make up your own mind. And for that, I actually suggest you start looking into reincarnation, because there are whole institutes looking into that. And most of that information is anecdotal, but for myself, I found it to be rather convincing information. There's one phenomenon particularly. For example, there is kids all over the world before puberty that start to report very accurate information from their previous lives. So accurate that when the parents start checking into it, they then want some more information from the kids, because they just find it so incredible to hear these stories. So as the kids, for example, let me give you one more concrete one. That is, there was one child that just started to sing Beatles songs, and the parents didn't understand how that could be, because this kid hadn't been exposed to the radio. It hadn't been played any Beatles songs by their parents, so they didn't quite understand how this could be. So they just asked the kid, so how do you remember all these songs? And the answer was, well, we sang it with the boys in Nam. So they found this to be rather incredible and started asking a few more questions, and found out that this kid was able to provide some very accurate information. There was also another child also talking about veterans and having been a flight pilot, and was so convinced and was talking about it with so much conviction that the parents just had to check into the past and found out that some of these veterans were still alive. They brought a picture to the kid, and that child was able to point out these individual people by name accurately. So these are just some anecdotes that I have found, but I highly suggest you start looking into this phenomenon because there are thousands over thousands of cases like this all over the world. And this is definitely much more of a phenomenon that isn't necessarily always scientifically researched. But if you're willing to open yourself into the things that have come about in this realm, there's certainly a vast amount of information. You can even check into the institutes that do this professionally, for example. So that's just a little bit of background on reincarnation and the idea that spirit was before you were in this physical body and will be afterward. Now, what I have found to be so vital, especially studying with a lot of my own teachers, is to learn to tap into our own emotional systems, to start becoming much more aware of the subtleties in the emotions, because a lot of us don't really know how to read them or what to use them for. And they are here for us as guidance. They allow us to go deeper and deeper into what it is that we're currently experiencing, what it is that, how we're viewing our world at the time, and they can allow us for some feedback that really does assist in understanding where we're at with ourselves, whether we're on track or not, because this is mostly a relative sport, because you are where you're at right now anyway. Now, when you start to think thoughts that are less pleasant where you already are, you start feeling relatively seen less good. You actually start to feel worse. So that usually for me then is an indicator that I'm off track, because what happens is that my spirit's energy is flowing into my body all the time. And I can feel that whether I'm on track or off track, relatively seen, how I'm feeling. If I'm feeling better with the next thought, it means that I'm more on track. If it means that I'm not feeling as good, it's usually that I'm not so much on track.
Well, and you know, Ben, I first of all, to our listeners, I'd like to just let you know, heads up, we are in Mexico, and there has been some, since we've gotten on air, some phone ringing and some door knocking, and it just is what it is. So thank you for bearing with us. We're just so happy to have an appropriately strong Skype connection so we can in fact broadcast. I mean, that's delicious and lovely for us. And so thanks for bearing with us through all the distractions, which can only, you know, perhaps allow us to become more focused in our daily lives, a little bit of practice on focusing and honing in on what we really want to hone in on rather than that which would perhaps draw us away. And Benjamin, I'm really enjoying what you're sharing. And I really liked what you opened with the spirit, and the material. And I think that what I'm receiving anyway, and what I'm connecting the dots to in my world about what you're sharing, is the only way I feel in my experience, and if anyone out there has a different one or a new perspective or something to add, I would love to hear that. The only way I can be fully aware of my thoughts would be to pay attention to my emotions, which you have so succinctly and eloquently shared. And from that place, really, it comes down to a point of being willing to identify and be connected to and embrace or even play with the idea, depending where we are on our path in our journey of our own awakening, connecting to the fact or the idea that we do have a spirit. We are spirit. We are energy. There is more to us than meets the proverbial eye. There is more than just this bag of bones or this meat suit walking through the density of what we might call this third dimensional reality of Earth, with all of these materialistic aspects that we see as hard. And in a sense, from that perspective that maybe we've been inundated with and that we've bought into or that we've been taught is real, and not denying that it's not. I mean, I enjoy drinking my coffee from the cup as much as anyone else does, and perhaps even more than most, quite frankly. But what I have come to know is that if I focus entirely on the solidity of the materialism of my body or objects around me, then I can, from that place, also bring my ideas into a materialistic form, nominalize them, personify them, and to put it in really simplistic language, make them as real as the coffee cup that holds my coffee. Thusly, my opinions, my concepts, my beliefs and ideas become solid, like the word the truth. When there is, it's not solid. Many of us would speak to religious concepts or ideas or even spiritual ideas as solid objects. And what I invite in, and Benjamin and I have been speaking to today, and Benjamin came up with, really tabled this for me today that I felt was brilliant and delicious and full of life, was that it perhaps is the time now to bring the fluidity of spirit, or we can call it female energy or yin or yang. I'm not quite sure which one is which in that permission slip of meaning and definition. But we can bring in the fluidity of the concept and idea of spirit and flow into the solidity and solidified concepts of objects and third dimensional reality, and also bring the solidified energy, or the male energy, the linear energy, the practical here formed energy into the spiritual. So essentially we become more blended. The spirit through form, the form as spirit through spirit, working together as one and using the tool of the mind in order to create this for ourselves, to play with it. Because what I know for sure, and I don't know how you feel about this, Ben, but my experience is that there is no one way. There have been times in my life when I thought, this is the way, this is the modality, this is the concept, this is the idea, this is the teacher, this is the poet, this is the book. And you know what? That this is the, in that moment, was the this is the. And what I've come to know is that, you know, an experience is that when I open into the fluidity of it all is and it all isn't, and the only thing that might be truth per se in the moment is what I deem it to be, then I bring in the fluidity of being able to open and play with and allow and invite all things to be present. The what I do want and what I don't want, and to really allow it to come to a center point balance. And from that place, I really have clarity of my preference. Because how often are we choosing things that we supposedly prefer or want or desire or must have from a place of lack, or running away from or turning away from that which we perceivably do not want? The question is, can we stand in direction in the face of it all from the fluidity of embodying the spirit that we are? Let it all be allowed, tune into our joyful spirit, and choose in clarity and preference from that place.
Very well put together and summarized. I love that. Thank you so much. I totally agree with that. And I definitely want to reiterate too that what we offer are different perspectives. None of them are necessarily the ultimate way of thinking about anything, but they are definitely constantly evolving, fluid perceptions that just don't ever stop. And that's part of the fun of it all, that there is just no one ultimate thing. I want to say except, I'm not quite sure that there is an exception, but the one thing that I have actually found for myself has led me the most steady was actually a good connection to my own spirit. That has been unwaveringly been the only thing that has never led me astray, sort of like the gut instinct that a lot of people have. And usually when they don't follow it, I haven't had one person that said, oh, it was so good I didn't follow my gut instinct.
True enough. Oh, that was so awesome that I didn't follow my intuition. Yes. No, that I've yet to hear that one, although I have spoken myself and heard many times, I knew it. I knew I should have gone left instead of right. Oh, I just knew I should have got that or done that or said that or not said that. I've had many of those. And so really the gut instinct, that intuitive self, is it the spirit? is there an ultimate truth? I don't know, like Ben, you know, Benjamin, like you just said, for me, it would really be if I were, I'll use the word arrogant enough in this moment to say for me, because I can only speak for myself. That's one thing I'm really aware of. I don't ever deem anything as the truth across the board for everyone. In my world, though, I would say, like you, Benjamin, that it has come to a realization of how important it is for me to live a whole life perspective from a place of full embodiment and reunification and realization of the components of myself being mind, body, and spirit, and moving through my world towards things, really recognizing that my inner world to follow that place from feeling good. And sometimes that good is really excitement, enthusiastic, and eager. And sometimes that good is, someone today actually said good, better, best. And I love that. So sometimes, you know, the best is, yeah, I'm rocking and rolling. I'm joy. I got tears of gratitude coming through. I'm so enthusiastic. And other times it's simply neutrality and peace, calm, a simple awareness of being, and really just being okay with everything that's out there. And you know what I'd love to talk to you about is a bit about the word circumstance.
Just one piece I wanted to add in. If anyone would like to join us on the show, whether you just want to contribute something, whether you want to
ask a question,
or just even argue with us a little bit.
Rebuttal. Ooh, delicious.
You can do that by calling in live. The number is 1-888-627-6008. I'm going to repeat that once more. It's 1-888-627-6008. You can also go to bbsradio.com/thespring, and on the left hand side you will find a little link called BBS Fast Chat. That way you can also pose your questions directly to us without even coming on the show. Either way is fine. If you feel to contribute that way, we certainly welcome it very much.
You can just send it out, you know, telepathically, or tune in, and maybe we'll just address what it is you want to know. That's always fun too. And it is nice to hear your voice and play with you in the chat room as well. So whatever works for you, whatever feels good for you is really the ultimate ticket. And I really feel and believe, and I would say know, that that's perhaps the most important thing, or one of the master keys, we can use that terminology, and remembering that, like, words are just pointers anyway, and by virtue of language, as Benjamin has spoken to and reminds me of all the time, and is so such an eloquent speaker of language, by virtue of the spoken word separates. Because in order to identify, we must pull it out of the whole and create separation. So remember, words are only pointers. So speaking to that, master key, if I'm going to use those words, because I like that phrase, I would say that, you know, the most important thing is for you as a unique, beautiful, brilliant, radiant individual, a tone onto yourself, a frequency onto yourself, in your own just juicy, thriving yumminess, is to do what feels good for you, to work with what feels good for you, to and the key being that you feel good about it, and forget what anyone else says. And let's talk about those conditions, unconditional or conditional.
I was absolutely already brewing to get into that direction because, well, there is the idea of unconditional love, for example, as compared to conditional love. But where I wanted to go before diving a little deeper into that is that we all have dreams and desires. We all want things in our life. And oftentimes, life deals us a hand that just doesn't necessarily go in accordance with what exactly we dreamed up. And there is a tricky way of working with what some people call the law of attraction. And it doesn't necessarily always work exactly the way that we imagined it would. We just think of something, we hold it in our attention, and then it comes. But that's not quite accurate. The way that it actually works more so is that when you start tapping into your own spirit's energy, and that's really the key. This is the big beginning phrase, but essentially when you tap into your own spirit's energy and you start to feel good, that's when things come to be in their own timing. And sometimes we would like to force it to be a timing sooner than that. But from a larger perspective, things aren't necessarily always most opportune when we desire them to come about. Actually, it's sort of like the food that we get. Oftentimes we feel like we would like to have all our dreams fulfilled right now, but that's like saying, I want all my food for all my life right here, right now. That doesn't quite make sense.
Or you know, that's like saying you want to have all the sex or all the orgasms or all the pleasure you're ever going to have right now. Bring them all now. And then what? And, you know, Ben, you had a really great analogy. Will you share the analogy about the movie?
Yes, yes.
When you're ready. I'm sorry. I slid right in there. Continues, my fine sir.
Absolutely. I'll get there. The idea then being that we do want things, and actually very often the timing of how things come about can often be better placed than we just come up with in our imagination. The thing is, though, it's so easy to forget that when we're actually currently living in a place of lack, because it's just ever so evident that whatever we want, we don't have right now. And I want it right now because it feels like I'm lacking it right now. But there is a little secret. The secret is that you don't have to wait in order to feel good about yourself and your life right now already, because in the end, what you're aiming for is the feeling good, because you only imagine that in the having of it, the end goal will be that you feel good about it. So the emotion is really more so what you're aiming for than the thing itself. And when we start to recognize that we have it a little backwards, and we start to just feeling good now and here, and not make it so conditional upon the having of whatever that is that we're dreaming of, we're actually making it quite possible to attract whatever that is that we want into our lives. That is essentially the key to getting the things that you want, by first tuning into your own spirit, and then you will already start to feel good. And upon that, then will come the things in their own timing as they're most opportune for you in your particular circumstance. Now, to get back to the idea of conditional and unconditional, it's a little tricky, because oftentimes when we want something, let's say, for example, we want abundance of money. We then say that is really the way to go, and it's the only way to go, and the only way to feel really good, because it's so evident that I currently don't have money and I don't feel good. But we're forgetting that there might be advantages to not having that much money, such as savoring certain aspects of your life a lot more, that if you had so much money that you just started to develop maybe even something like greed, because no matter how much you have, there is never enough.
Well, and yes, and also I'd like to just throw in, since we're on the financial situation, a lot of us believe that in order to, you know, we want money because we want things. Because, you know, I want the money because I'll be able to travel, I'll be able to buy a house and a car or pay off my debts, and I'll be able to treat those that I love by buying them gifts, supporting them. Maybe I'll be able to eat healthier foods or wear better clothes, all of these fun things. We have plans for that cash, man. What when we are only focusing on the way that those things can take place, the only way all of those lovely plans I have can unfold and come into my world where I'll feel pleasure around that and free and empowered. And, you know, the captain of my own ship is when I have the gajillion dollars. That doesn't leave a lot of room for any other opportunities now, does it? It's like, I got to get a job that's going to provide all that cash, but I don't have an education that's going to allow me to do that. And so I have to go back to school, which sets me back again, and I need money for that. We don't leave a lot of room for, I'll call it magic, miracles, universal life force, law of magnetism, attraction, vibration. I mean, what if, you know, you just... somebody gives you a lottery ticket and you win money? What if somebody, you know, offers you an opportunity to travel the world as their assistant, or because you take great photographs, or just because, you know, there are the kindness of strangers, there's universal support. And when we say, I need to have that, I can only get that house because, you know, money. What if somebody just gives you a house? Oh, that can never happen. Are you sure? Has it never, ever happened to anyone on the planet? I mean, I can look at Elvis Presley. He used to give away Cadillacs randomly. He'd just get out of his car and say, here you go, and toss the keys to some person on the street. Did that person, I mean, how would that feel? If somebody says, you know what, I've been listening to you, or I see you, and I just feel moved to give you something. There are other ways. When we make a plan and we want something for what it will give us, as Benjamin was speaking to, feel that now and leave room. Forget the hows. Leave room for how that will come to you, designed by the greater knowledge of your spiritual self, the higher levels, the universe, Bob's your uncle, the quantum flower of life, Trixie, whatever you want to call that part of divine universal light, information, and intelligence to work. But in order to attract that, you, to magnetize that, to vibrate on that station, you have to broadcast a feel-a-good feeling, man. That's your job.
And your lottery ticket might then look a little different too, but we should never underestimate how many more possibilities there are than we could ever come up with, because your lottery ticket might just be someone coming along that's offering you a job that actually earns more than you could ever imagine.
Or you fall in love with a sweetheart who's a multimillionaire, you know, and there you go. You don't know. But the thing is, and anytime any one of us says the only way I can get from A to B is through this avenue, all right. I mean, I'm sure the universe will work with you because you are the creator of your reality, and great. But man, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a wider road to be driving your car down instead of a little skateboard lane trying to drive your 18-wheeler down that puppy? You get scraped up.
And there's also the idea of the analogy of the traveling photographer. Because sometimes we think we need the money in order to do the things that we want to do in our lives. But there was a photographer, for example, that really loved traveling and also wanted to earn some money. Well, what she did then was just start telling everyone that that was what she was going to do. And in the end, she ended up taking photographs for hotels and different destinations. And they were not only paying her for the flight, for the accommodation, but they actually gave her money on top of it all simply to photograph all these different destinations.
Yes, actually, if I may, that was...
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a photographer. The specifics of that, as I recall, is the photographer wants to travel the world, has no money at all, nothing, and living day to day, and is wondering how, let go of the idea that it had to be through accumulating mass amounts of financial abundance through work or anything else, because she didn't even have a job. And then woke up one day and said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to write an airline. And she sent an email to an airline.
Yes, that's it.
And she said, hey, I'm a photographer and I want to travel and I take really great photos. And I do love to take natural geographical landscape photos. And here's a few samples. And I'm wondering, if you fly me to here, I'd be so happy to take some pictures for you. They loved her pictures and they just said, sure. And they actually hired her, flew her around the world. And her job was to take beautiful, so she got to see all these amazing, beautiful, all the hot pictures you see in their airline guides, you know, when you're flying around, it's like, come here, those beautiful travel brochure pictures, see these waterfalls, check out this safari, look at these caves, these amazing, amazing, brilliant physical aspects of this earth. She got to photograph, they flew her around the world, paid for all of her hotels, all of her food and requirements, and paid her money as a salary. Now, if she was really stuck in the idea that it had to be from earning a job, that resourcefulness, that state of resourceful creativity that came through her when she said, I don't know how, but, you know, show me, may not have ever come because she would have been so focused on the want ads in the paper for, you know, a photographer and how many want ads are there for that. So you see, when we let go of it, the specifics of how it's going to show up and enjoy the juicy creativity, the aliveness, that energetic buzzing that comes from our spirit self that allows us to feel good. You know, when you feel good, that's the ticket. And then we start to recognize that matter is not as solid as we thought it was. There's a fluidity to this life that moves through everything, that opens doors where there are walls or impossibilities turn into heightened ends of dramatic probabilities that can only uplift our worlds.
Thank you so much for that. It was absolutely the airline and not the hotels. That's absolutely right. And the thing is, when we actually start examining the material at much, much more precision and detail, we start to realize that there is a lot more space contained between all the atoms than there is actual physical matter. And I think they said if you would actually bring all of New York together, all the atoms, it would fit into a thimble.
Isn't that amazing? A thimble in the mighty New York City. Huh. That's a perspective shift, isn't it?
Even if it's a little more, a little less, doesn't really matter, but it really does tell us that the matter itself isn't always as it quite appears.
The matter doesn't really matter. What's at the heart of the matter? That's a good question. Very clever.
Now, beyond that, we look at something and we believe it's so static, like the coffee cup in front of me. It seems that it is just so solid from one moment to the next. It doesn't seem to have changed. But if I was able to look microscopically small at all the electrons that are buzzing around these atoms, I would see that there isn't one moment where that cup is in the exact same composition as any other moment, because there is so much motion happening at all times that I can't even perceive it all at any one given moment. And beyond that, if I would take, for example, something like a wooden bench, which also seems rather solid, but now I would take one picture of it every day for, let's say, 10,000 years, or even less than that, let's say let's leave it at 10,000 years. It would come and disappear in a blip so quick it would be hard to recognize.
But I had a wooden bench, and it had the metal side arms, and the rest was wood, so the backrest and the seat. And the wood lasted untreated, you know, just let it be. The metal stood for a long time, but the wood was gone in about, 5 years outside in the elements. That was fast.
Okay, now let's fast forward.
Not completely, but I mean, it was definitely not. And if you sat on that, you're guaranteed to get a piece of lumber up your behind, okay? It was not stable anymore, so perhaps it would have rotted away in 20 years.
Well, and the thing is, though, even if you would fast forward through 10,000 years, you would see that even the metal would rot away and essentially just disappear. And well, it doesn't disappear entirely, but it just starts to blend with everything else. And we would see much more of how fluid this material really is. And beyond that, it's even our bodies often seem so solid. We think that one person is the same person, even though we see them, yes, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but if they wouldn't be constantly flowing and changing the cells in their bodies and have blood flow through them, they would essentially die. When they become stagnant, when there isn't the fluidity, that's actually the point where they make a transition from having their spirit in their bodies to somewhere else, or usually that happens and then they become stagnant.
That's when they croak, the body croaks. Yes. They leave the t-shirt they're wearing, yes?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the time when the motion becomes more still and a different type of motion sets in, where they start to blend into their environment and their bodies start to blend into their environment again. And then we start to see that really the matter isn't really that solid, that permanent. And the matter itself actually is more of a process than our English language often leads us to believe. Very often, we start to look at these things as actual permanent things, even though they are more of a process, such as, for example, let's say a cup. Well, a cup actually is kind of, let's say a glass is a glass of water. More than being just a material glass, it's sort of more like glassing or house, rather than just being this object, is something like housing. There are actually languages that treat all objects as verbs. The same is then actually quite true as well for our language in the form of love. We try to make love this thing and then sell it to people, even though there is no such thing as love, the thing. Love itself is a process. We can do something lovingly, for example. Love is not this static thing that I can give to someone, but it is something that I do. Maybe it's the way that I say certain words to someone, or maybe it's just a stroke or a look. It really depends. But there are so many ways of expressing love that I can be loving, but it's not... I mean, they call it do love, but that even seems sort of silly in itself, too.
Well, even the concept, we use the terminology make love. How can you make that which you already are? You can express love.
And I think that expression is more accurate than the expression making love. It has just become another funky convention that
of nominalizing, personifying, bringing into that materialistic way of seeing things, that all things are solid. And I really feel that this time on our planet, it's such an exciting time that these concepts are up for consideration, for us to begin to notice and play with our world in a different way, to start to notice that perhaps the ways in which we've been connecting to things, considering things, dealing with things, are just up for re-examination, up for a new way of being with them, of understanding things, of bringing more fluidity and motion into things. You know, like the truth, this is love. Well, you know, I don't see it, but you can feel it, right? You can feel it and you know it. And, you know, there are different kinds of love. There's a different way of being with people and things and energies. You know, I would say more so that it's a vibrational tone, you know, that you're in a vibration, a state of love. But it's fluid. It's in motion, right? Because even when you're in that, looking in your lover's eyes or your, you know, your kitten's eyes or your dog, something, a being that you love, a plant, a tree, the earth, you're with that in that expansive place. Tears can even come, the expression, touch can come, this, oh, the verbalization of it, the expression. And then what? And then you go and you make yourself a cup of coffee and that changes. You might love the coffee, love the process. it is different. And the next time you reconnect with your sweetheart or your puppy or the tree or the planet, whatever that embodiment of that which you were loving and expressing love with, to, and from, and as, it changes again. And I had a conversation today, or somebody asked Benjamin a question today, and what struck me when I listened in on this conversation was that there's a way in which so many of us want to hold on to an experience as if it were a cup. I keep using a cup, and I don't know why, because it just seems to be here. Maybe the cup runneth over. We're trying to have a cup full of things. I don't know. We're trying to fill the cup and keep it the way it is, and keep the cup and keep pleasurable experiences the way they are, and then try and recreate them and try and be with them and try to solidify them in time as such that I need to go back to that. And even the unpleasant energies, moments, and experiences that we have deemed as such, we want to run from them or recreate them and talk about them in the same way and harp on them as if they're solid objects. But as Ben said about that bench, even that is not permanent. And, you know, there's many teachings, many Sufi teachings, great teachers that would speak to the impermanence of things. And perhaps they are permanent, but not in a way in which they're brought into solid form like a bed or a car. Maybe the permanence is really a fluid feeling state, a fluid way of being in the moment. But now that that moment is past, there's a new way of being with that. Maybe there seems to be a nuance in the paradigm, in the, what is the term I'm looking for? Paradox. That's it. A paradox in the permanence and the impermanence. But what is, I would say, consistent is our ability to tune into how we feel about anything at any given time. To tune in through our body vehicle and our spirits, using the mind to direct, to notice what is in front of us, what our preferences are, why they are as they are, and who are we really?
And the funny thing is that these making processes into things is what we call nominalizing, because we make a process a noun, and then it becomes in our language something like the spirit, for example. Now we take something like spirit and even start to nominalize that. But really, even spirit is something like flowing energy. We're essentially just flowing that spirit energy into our bodies all the time, and would almost be more accurate to start saying something like we're spiriting rather than we have a spirit. It's more that we're spiriting our bodies, and that's what breathes life into them. And as we continue to spirit them, and I'm not talking about pouring spirits into our mouths.
Although I enjoy that from time to time, I do admit I did some spiriting the other night in Mexico, I'll tell you.
Certainly can be fun too, and it can even connect us to the spirit too, depending on the place of where it's done from. That oftentimes matters way more than anything else. If you are actually in high spirits and then you do it, in accordance with that, you can feel great about it. But when you try to fill a hole, for example, well, that doesn't work. It might leave you in an even bigger hole after that, because the idea behind all of this is essentially like the law of attraction, that wherever your action comes from, whatever vibration you feel underneath, you get more of that. And you need to essentially start understanding where you're at vibrationally first, because when you start acting just wildly without having an idea of that, it's going to work anyway in accordance with the law of attraction, whether you want it or not. But when you start to understand it, you can start to direct your actions with more purpose. You can start to slow down when you're not feeling so good about it on the inside, or maybe even questioning, and you can speed up when you're feeling good about it, because that will allow you to get more of what it is that you want in your life. Essentially, it's sort of like you have a feedback system inside of yourself. If you're on track, it actually feels good. If you're off track, it doesn't feel so good. And you can start to play with that. And the beautiful thing is that you don't actually need any external conditions to be any particular way in order to at least start moving into the direction of feeling better. Because oftentimes we feel like we need things. And hey, let's get real. There are certain things like air, water, some food, and so on. There are some clothing, shelter, and so on. There are some basic needs from the current paradigm of where we're coming from. There are some exceptions. There are supposedly people that breathe just air, breatharians, or there are other people that live off the sunshine. But we'll keep those as exceptions. Yeah. that currently don't necessarily have to be taken into account, because hey, we're living in the world where we still need to eat, drink, and breathe air and have food and shelter and all of that. So from that paradigm, okay, yes, we do need that. Now, the thing is, oftentimes we say, though, I need this right here, right now. But we forget that we still are breathing, that we are still living, and that we are actually currently completely supported and taken care of, and that the next meal or the next sip of water might be around the corner, or the next money to allow us to do what it is that we want to do, or maybe someone else that just gives us a ticket to whatever it is without needing the money. It doesn't really matter. But when we start to recognize again, hey, wait a moment, let me just recognize where I'm standing right here, right now. And I recognize that I am currently already okay.
And, you know, I like to just, yes, I love that. And to really know that we're okay, because when we check in, we are, aren't we? We really are, right? I mean, okay, there isn't enough money in the bank, perceivably. Or, you know, you haven't quite got that beautiful, complimentary, divine relationship that you're looking for, but you're still okay, right? It's when we tell ourselves the stories that we're not, that we create that state. But I'd like to talk, and I'd like to speak to for a moment further to conditions, love, conditions. So essentially, in a nutshell, for me, what that looks like today is this. When my inner world and how I feel is based on outer conditions, such as the money in the account, the lover, the car, the promotion, the job, whether the kids' rooms are clean, or whether they got an A and they're going to the, you know, or they got the basket or whatever, or my friend called me back, or I got the date or found those red shoes to match my dress. If I base how I feel, my joy, my happiness, my clarity, my very identity, and how I feel inside from an emotional perspective, a feeling state perspective, on outer conditions, man, I'm telling you, I'm an out of control boat that is just completely victim to the weather. You know, even that, I can only feel good when the weather's good. Well, that's a crock too. So what I propose and I invite into my world, and you know, propose and invite you to play within yours, is what if nothing in your life, your state of inner being, was not based on outer conditions, not political conditions, not environmental conditions, not relationship conditions, not financial conditions, not physical conditions, nothing. Nothing outside of the way you feel. And I'm even including your body. Let's say you want to lose a bunch of weight, or you want to, you know, change the way your body looks or how you feel, or you've got a cold right now and you're actually wanting to feel better. Well, what if you could feel good no matter what? Okay, so right now, you know, I've got some poundage I would like to lose, or I'd like to get into shape a little bit more. I wish I didn't have, you know, wasn't in bed right now. Well, what if I could be in bed and still feel okay inside, that I could find appreciation and joy for anything and raise my own inner vibration? Because hey, we all know laughter is the best medicine. And what is it? When do you laugh? When you're feeling good, when we lighten up. So that brings joy, happiness, a sense of humor to it all. We could lighten up, let ourselves off the hook, and it doesn't matter what the outer condition is. Oh, someone took, you did something at work and they took credit for it instead of you receiving that. So
they
what?
Stole your accolades?
Yes, they stole your accolades. I did that. And you know you wrote that. You know you did that. You know you put in all the work. Big deal. Can you still enjoy that it was well received? Does it really matter? How can you find joy for yourself anyway instead of getting hung up on the fact that you got ripped off, you didn't get credit where credit was due? And that's only, you know, that takes practice. I'm not going to say, hey, if you've never played that way, you're going to get it overnight, but you might, because I'm open to that too. Why not? Right?
Well, now let's get the basis for all of this straight anyway. The universe is benevolent. It's good. It's actually on your side. The thing is, though, how do you feel when you berate yourself? Not so good. Oftentimes, it's not even that you have to get into this awesome state. It's more that you just need to stop for long enough from the berating yourself or getting that negative inner talk to just have a break, lighten the load and give yourself a break and just let go for long enough so that the goodness can come back into your life. Because when you allow to give yourself that breathing space, then the goodness will come on its own. You already feel different just by stopping that, stopping the negativity. Because when you stop the negativity, you already feel different. There might be a gap. It might be a little uncomfortable because you're not used to it. But when you let go of it entirely, guess what? The goodness is only going to get better. It's actually that we are – the only reason why one might not already be experiencing a lot of pleasant things is because we're holding them apart from ourselves. It's only those negative thoughts, all the resistance that we're throwing in our path that holds all this negativity close to us. If we would just let go of it for long enough, the goodness would start to come.
And so the question is, perhaps some of you might be considering, because it's all fine and dandy, right? Because that's how I felt first time I heard it. I'm like, yeah, all right, that's nice, great. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I'm willing to play with that. How do I do that? Because I have been practicing for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. It feels like lifetimes. That other path where I have been flogging myself. I have been telling myself that I'm unattractive or that I'm not good at things or that I'll never get there or that my guy is all the good ones are taken. We all have these soundtracks, okay? But that can change. We can stop beating ourselves up for not making the home run. And that comes, how do we do that? And I would say, start with something small. If this is just a beginning for you, totally cool, because everyone starts somewhere. And the same holds true if you're really practiced at it, because we all have sticky points, okay? Little fly papers that stick our issues sometimes. So we have to add a little lubricant. First of all, start with something easy in your world. Don't go for the big blue marble that's, the splinter in your nostril, okay? Start with something simple. I didn't make the home run, but that's okay. I didn't make it yet. My sweetheart isn't in my life yet. But you know what? There are lots of really... Go ahead, Ben. You look like you got something to say.
Yes. Start with something where you don't already have a lot of negative momentum behind it. Start with something that, just isn't that ultimately important. Start with something that there might have been a little bit of negative self-talk, but not necessarily that massive of an amount. Because when you already have that type of a momentum behind it, it is incredibly tough to get it stopped. That's like dropping a bowling ball of the Empire State Building and trying to catch it at the bottom. Not such a good idea.
Yeah.
It's oftentimes better just to let that fall to the ground, and then trying to pick it up again. So if you want to get started with this type of an idea, and it's always important that you practice or play with this for yourself in your own world, do it with something small. Do it with something that just isn't quite that.
The big hook. Like, I mean, if your big issue is your mother-in-law, let's not start there, okay? We're not going to get into this massive appreciation about her right now. But start with something else, you know? Start with something like, I don't know, maybe your kid doesn't clean their room all the time when you ask them, or they don't participate in things that you, in the way in which you wish they would, as long as it's not a big one for you. But, you know, start with something. Your cat is always, when they go in the cat box, they're, you know, God, the cat is schlumped as poop on the floor again, or poops outside of the box, you know, and it annoys you a little, but you're not freaking out about it. Like, you know, you're phoning all your friends and putting it on Facebook and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of drama and drama around it. So let's do the cat box one. Okay, well, gee, there's the litter and the poop on the floor again. All right. Well, I do like my cat. I do get, or it could be your dog with poop in the yard in the spring, whatever. I do appreciate my pet. They do bring me a lot of joy. I like the way we cuddle, and I like the way I'm greeted, and I like the purrs, or I like to go out and walk my dog. It's the cat I really like that, you know, I really like when I give them catnip and they get that stoned, glassy-eyed look in their face and I get the string and play with them. They bring me a lot of hours of joy. And I do like just when I'm sitting on the couch and I can hang out and watch TV and share my potato chips with them and pet them and have a conversation with them. And when I'm feeling blue, I love that I have my cat or my pet that's such a good friend that I love so much that I look, when I see that pet and they see me, I feel the love. And I love that. And so, you know, well, there's a little poop on the floor. That's okay. I'm able-bodied. I can clean it up. It gives me an opportunity to give it a little clean and maybe freshen up this area because I like a clean litter box myself in my toilet. I like that to be clean. So this gives me an opportunity to clean that. And that's okay. And maybe it's not such a big deal after all. And it's okay, because it only takes me a moment to clean it. And the cat's not doing it on purpose, and they bring me so much joy. Doesn't that just take the edge off? Doesn't it just take the edge off the blame that can happen? The anger and resentment that can come?
Even to say something like, I don't have to necessarily clean it right now. In the state that I'm currently feeling, for example. So the idea behind all of this is not just positive thinking, because positive thinking itself is not enough. It goes beyond that. It has to feel good, because it's...
And it has to be real for you. You've got to really get to that place of appreciation. We're not talking about icing a poo-poo cake with chocolate icing and pretending that the poo-poo isn't underneath it. Because when you cut into that puppy, it's still poo-poo. You really want to bake the cake from a place of appreciation and joy and find something good in it.
And when you then essentially start to not just positively think, but feel about it a different way, you don't have to necessarily feel great about it right away, but give yourself a break, feel better about it. And it's always about feeling incrementally better and better and better and better. Sometimes it's even about recognizing why it's okay to be where you're at, that you don't necessarily always need things to be different than they currently are right now, but rather that you might be able to make your move toward a different place easily and slowly. And maybe you can even find something to appreciate in whatever situation you're in right here, right now. If you can get there, that is really where the golden ticket is. And it's not always that easy, but it certainly can be done. So I believe that's what we're going to leave you with for this week. And come visit us at thespringoflifecenter.com. We have our website there. Center is spelled with an E-R. And it's always lovely to be on the air with you, to all the listeners. It's lovely to be on the air with you, Jasmine. And I hope you will all have a wonderful time this week. Enjoy and play with these different ideas.
And be easy with you. Springoflifecenter.com. It's been wonderful speaking with you. Thanks, Benjamin. You always add so much. I'm so honored to host with you and be with you and walk beside you in life. You're an amazing person. Thanks to all the listeners. Thanks to Doug for producing our show and allowing this wonderful BBS.com radio platform for us all to share our perspectives. And I wish you a pleasant, unhooking week. Massage yourself. Treat yourselves well. You deserve it.
Be good to yourself.
Thank you so much. And have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Me, I'm going out in Mexico to have some dinner. Hola!